I had hoped the seal would make an appearance while we were upstream, but really, summer is not its season. The seal was young, around 2002, when it learnt to recognise my boat motor. I might take off before dawn, but the seal would find me and come to the side of the boat to say hello. When you're fishing, you don't want the company of a fish-eating seal. It was such a character, I could never resent its presence. One time, I was working on a small repair for Nadji, and the seal began diving beside me. It came up with a little silver elva, gave it a smart flick and tossed it into its mouth. It didn't exactly wink at me, but it seemed pretty pleased with itself. It dived like that for 20 minutes, always returning with a small silver eel and giving it the flick and toss treatment, and then the sideways glance to see if I was suitably impressed. We knew each other for a couple of decades. One night I was fishing up near Pine Corner on the Wallagara, and I caught my fish in 20 minutes, but it was such a beautiful night I dozed off with my head resting on the gunwale. Suddenly, there was a violent blast of air in my ear. That bloody seal had followed me all the way upstream. The water at the corner is nearly fresh, so it never occurred to me that she would come as far. Anyway, her presence meant the end of sleep and the disappearance of any fish in the vicinity. While I was writing this book, I saw her again. I assumed it was the same animal because she made a great point of making sure I was watching her expertise. I was coming back from Gypsy and I saw a large body roiling close to the riverbank. The seal surfaced with a massive fish in her mouth. It might have been a ray because it was wide and its belly was snow white. The seal brought the catch up toward my boat and proceeded to slap it with enormous violence on the surface of the water. In between slaps, the seal glanced up at me and assessed my admiration. It is hard for me not to think of it as the same seal. It might be a romantic thought or a wish for the longevity of a friend, but whatever the case, I enjoy the personality. A male pelican used to visit me at the Gypsy Jetty too. I would feed his family fish frames, so we became close. The male bird took it into his head to wheel about and land on the jetty if he ever saw me there. I rarely fish from the jetty, so there was nothing for him to eat, but it would waddle along the jetty and greet me, it seemed, with a loud quack, 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 and then settle himself beside me and swing his great beak around onto his back. Most of the time it wouldn't sleep, but just regard me with that big yellow eye. The bird seemed not to defer to me, rather than confer with me. I hope I was up to scratch.
Bruce, you've been reading from Black Duck, which is a memoir of a year on well, where you're living, actually, and the land around there too. And, I mean, how long have you been living there?
I've been living in there since 2000, but prior to that, I'd been a school teacher in the region from about 1970. My uncle actually took me there first in about 63 or 64, but the book is from 2022.
So what was the region?
Mallacoota. It's actually where the farm is Wallagara, but it's a great water system where three rivers merge into two lakes, which express themselves into the ocean at Mallacoota.
How long was it before you felt that you had to record what was going on in the land? Because usually when we stay in one place, it takes a few years for us to get into the rhythm, to get into the observing the changes and the constancy of the seasons and the feel of it.
Well, I've always written about Mallacoota. If you read my novels, it's not too hard to discern Mallacoota in those novels. But it was Sally Heath who asked for this book because she thought that what we were doing on the farm would interest readers. So it hadn't occurred to me that we would be doing a book like that. But when she suggested it to me I could see that it would be, I could make a book out of it. And it turned out to be a really enjoyable project, far more enjoyable than writing nonfiction, for instance, because it was just talking about the beauty of the life.
So you actually produced this part with your partner, Lynn Harrow, didn't you?
Mm.
You know, so you did it together. And there's also, there's photographs in the book as well, too, of life on the land as well. So, yeah, it's quite an interesting sort of memoir for people who've actually read some of our other books to see the area that you've actually been in for some time.
Yeah, look, it's a really interesting period in our life, too, because Lynn and I separated for 4 years and... this is soon after our coming back together. So the process of it was quite revealing, and it wasn't lost on us what had happened during that year, the building and rebuilding. And so it's a, you know, an important book for us to have done. As a family, because my whole family was involved. But I hope people also see that what we're doing is trying to repair country, trying to love country. And I think it's the lack of love for country that is doing the damage, not just here but around the world. And the Yuin culture is such a beautiful, gentle culture that I think the world can learn a lot from it.